Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit and washed in His blood. More than just a song, this radiates one of the greatest things that a faithful child of God enjoys. And that is blessed assurance. A faithful child of God can have confidence that will help him to endure whatever the turmoils of this life may bring. Isn't it reassuring to know that if you were to die tonight, you would be safe in the arms of Jesus? But there are many who don't have this assurance. And there are some who do not share in this confidence. I believe that the Bible clearly teaches that we can have security of the soul and a true inner peace and, yes, blessed assurance. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind." No fear of anything because we have assurance. 2 Timothy 1 and 12, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded he is able to keep what I've committed to him until that day." Yes, Paul had blessed assurance of salvation, no doubt. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, "I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Again, blessed assurance. And finally, Hebrews 6 and verse 11, "And we desire each one of you to show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end." Blessed assurance. Now, let's look at some ways that we can have this blessed assurance. First of all, assurance is associated with knowledge of the truth. In Colossians 2 and verses 1 and 2, we find the following. "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and the Son." You can see the assurance is directly linked with the knowledge of the Father and the Son. Now, assurance is something that comes from understanding, and understanding is something that comes from study. Notice in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 5, "Our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake." The gospel, notice, came in assurance. They weren't given something that was iffy. That's not the way it was presented to them. It came to them in assurance. Hebrews 10:22. "Let us draw near with Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." We draw near to God with what? Full assurance. And that's how He wants us to draw near to Him. Thus, if we want to be people of blessed assurance, we must be also the people of the book. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Thus, people of the book. 2 Timothy 2:15. Timothy is urged to study to show himself approved. Be diligent, the King James, New King James says, to show himself approved unto God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How are you going to rightly divide the word of truth? By study. You have to study it, know it. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, and I see I have dead battery for sure. 1 Timothy 4:13, till I come, he says, now Paul is writing this to Timothy, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Did you hear that? You say, well, just a minute, he didn't have a Bible. He had letters. The letters were copied and copied and copied and sent around to all the different congregations. He says, give attention to these things. How much more so today do we need to give attention to them? The Bible teaches us that we can have blessed assurance and confidence. Well, why can we have this? First of all, it's because of the cross. In Ephesians 2:13, Paul says, now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ is what brings us near to God. And without it, we are hopeless and lost. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. I'm sorry, I skipped on down to John 3:16, but I want to get Ephesians 1 and verse 7 in here. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace. Whose blood? Well, we have it through Christ's blood, and we get the forgiveness of our sins. That is one reason why we can have blessed assurance. We know our sins are forgiven. The sacrifice for our sins has been already offered. That's why we turn to John 3:16 and we find, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you believe in Jesus Christ, there is no reason for you to perish. No reason for you to perish. But notice, we can have this blessed assurance also because we are in Christ. Notice the blessings that are found in Christ. First of all, we are triumphant in Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. I love that verse. It talks about the influence of a Christian. Diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Triumphant in Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, we find out that we are a new creature in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We aren't like we used to be. We're different. A new creation, a new creature, if you will, in Christ Jesus. And we also find all spiritual blessings are found in Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 3 simply says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That's it. All spiritual blessings. There's not a spiritual blessing that you can enjoy that's found outside of Christ. Not one. Not one. And we also noted a moment ago, we have the forgiveness of sins, as Ephesians 1 and verse 7 said, redemption through his blood the forgiveness of sin. Now, put all of this together, what do we have? We have an inheritance in Christ. We have an inheritance in Ephesians 1 and 1. Look at it carefully. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. It was God's divine plan from the beginning for the people that conformed themselves to the image of his son to be heirs. And everyone who meets those qualifications, if you will, or is conformed to that image, is going to receive an inheritance. Now, that is what being in Christ assures us of and brings that blessed assurance. But there's a question that hangs over our head. How do we get into Christ that we might have that blessed assurance? We need to know. In Galatians 3 and verse 27, we find the Apostle Paul saying, "For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." Okay, they were, here they were, and here is in Christ. They were baptized into Christ. Where were they before? Outside of Christ. Where are they now? They're in Christ. What was the difference? They were baptized into Christ. The same thought is carried over into being baptized into his death in Romans 6, 3 and 4. Do you not know that as many of us are baptized into Christ Jesus? We're baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Where were you before baptism? Outside of Christ. Where are you after baptism? You are buried with him in baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so also you should walk in newness of life. The old life is over here. This is a new life. In Christ. Romans 3 and verse 23, we understand that God knew that man, after he was baptized, would sin. He said, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Not a soul can say, "I am sinless, I am perfect." Not a one. Not one. In 1 John 1 and verse 7, John makes it clear. Now remember, John is talking as a Christian to other Christians. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We know we sin. Not because we want to. We sin because the devil gets us every once in a while. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we've not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Just as simple as that. God does not expect us to be a perfect people. God expects us to be a confessing people. Notice that. A confessing people. If we use this avenue of forgiveness, confessing our sins to God, we can have the blessed assurance that we remain righteous before God. We have a Bible, the book, God's Word, given to us for the purpose of directing us to heaven. Have you ever thought of the Bible as a roadmap? It's a roadmap. And its purpose is to guide us to heaven. We know that God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son, and his Son gave us words to direct us to heaven. God's word gives us the blessed assurance because they are living and powerful words. Notice, old books, they're dead. They wrote them for the time, and you pick them up. Well, this doesn't even apply to today. You know, I can find, you know, actually I've got some old books that Hastings Dictionary and Hastings Encyclopedia. And it's good stuff. Good, real good stuff on the Bible. But it's so outdated. Things that it talks about are things that we know better now. Why is that so? Because it's a dead book, that's why. But do you know what? God's word is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You pick up God's word and you read it in any generation, and it applies. It applies. It doesn't change. It doesn't get modern or get new. It is the same. And it is powerful. In fact, it is the power of God unto salvation, according to Romans 1 and verse 16. It is also the giver of light and understanding. Psalm 119 and 130, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. We know that. And it is the means whereby we are purified. In John 15:13, Jesus told his disciples, "You are already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you." Jesus purified them by the word. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 25, 1 Peter 1 and verse 25, "The word of the Lord endures forever, and this is that word which by the gospel was preached to you." It is enduring forever, and it will save us. Acts 11 and 14, "Who will tell you words," that is, we're talking about Cornelius here, about Peter, "who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved." Who came to him? And Peter did. He gave him words. Fact is, it's rather interesting, the words he gave them. He commanded them to be baptized. But we also see that it is called the gospel, or the word of our salvation. I'll get that correct there. "Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent." And it will never pass away. Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth will pass away." Jesus says, "My words will never pass away." But we have something else. We have the promises of God. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Okay, we have the promises of God. We are not tempted above what we can bear. That is one promise that we can count on. And I'm only going to list a few. Let everyone understand that the man who thinks he stands, he may fall. And no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. But God is faithful. There it is. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That's what? Promise. Second Peter 2 and verse 9. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. That's the promise. But there's another promise. Another promise. In Matthew 6 and verse 33, we are promised to be provided with what we need. Now, read it carefully. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. What things? Read the text. Food, shelter, clothing. What's it talking about? Necessities of life. Well, I don't know that is necessarily a promise. Well, I go back to David in Psalm 37, I believe it is. Yeah, it's 37 and verse 25. And I see David saying, I have been young and now I am old. Boy, I can understand that. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. Now I ask you, do you believe God? Do you believe God? If you believe God, you believe what is said here in Matthew 6:33. And you understand the same thing David does. That you have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. I believe it. And amongst these promises that we're talking about is salvation from sin. In Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9, though he was a son, speaking of Jesus, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. That's a promise, folks. That's a promise. The author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Well, what do you mean, obey him? Well, quite simply, in Mark 16 and 16, he who believes the gospel concerning Jesus and is baptized will be saved. That's what we believe. Is that a promise? Yeah, it's a promise. You're going to be saved. If you do what he said. Revelation 2 and verse 10, however, says that we must persist unto death. Whether it be premature death or natural death isn't important. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. That's the words of Jesus. Do you trust him? I do. But you know, I know that Matthew 10 and verse 22 says that you will be hated by all men for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. Those promises are precious. And I believe them. Now, to sum it up. To enjoy true blessed assurance. And that's what we're looking for. You must first of all be obedient. In 1 John 3, 18 through 24, and I ask you to read along with me in this. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Listen to it. We know we are of the truth and we are assuring our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Now, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave commandment. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him. Notice, we found out how to get into Christ. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he abides in us. And by this we shall know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. We can turn to the Word that the Spirit has given us and find out whether we're in Christ or not. It's not subjective. It's objective. Objective. And knowing that we are in Christ, we have confidence that he will keep his promises to us. But we're going to have to be steadfast also. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not vain in the Lord. No matter how many years you have to labor in the kingdom, don't worry. You're not spinning your wheels. It may seem like it sometimes, but you're not. You're not spinning your wheels. You are doing the will of the Father who's in heaven, and your labor is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain. So be watchful and be brave. 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch, stand fast in the faith, and be brave and be strong. Be brave and strong. And in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22, be of strong faith. Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Notice, full assurance of faith. No doubt. There's no doubt there. You know, one of the things that the Baptists have to say about us is we never know whether we're saved or not. We're always going around going, oh, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't know if I'm saved or not. That's not true. And it's not because of the impossibility of apostasy. And it's not because of being predestined. That's not it. It's objectively, you know whether you've done what the Lord commands. You know whether you're living according to his commandments or not. And you have the confidence of faith. The full assurance of faith. Your heart's been sprinkled from an evil conscience and your body's washed with pure water. It's clean. Now, let's bring it home. Do you have this blessed assurance? No greater joy can come to a person than having this blessed assurance. It is proclaimed in the Bible, as we've seen. It is ours to enjoy if we are a Christian and if we remain faithful to it. That's right. If we remain faithful. If you're not already a Christian, then you have this opportunity to give yourself an obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ today, at this hour. Confess your faith in Jesus from a penitent heart. Be buried with your Lord in baptism for the remission of your sins. And rise up to walk in that newness of life. If you are a Christian but you haven't been faithful, don't sacrifice the blessed assurance you once had for something that looks good today. It's not worth it. That's a case like we talked about this morning in our class of being short-sighted. Only seeing what's immediately in front of you and, wow, that's nice or that's cool or whatever. And not seeing the big picture. you need to repent. Ask God to forgive you and know that He will forgive you and make you one of His faithful children again, that you might have blessed assurance.